Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Mr. Charles Boda.
Hey.
Ms. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Mr. Steve Porter.
Hello.
And off camera, where he belongs, our producer, Craig Williams, back in the nook. So last week, we talked about the restaurants at Walt Disney World that we thought were the most overrated. So it's only fair that this week we talk about the ones we think are underrated. These are restaurants you're not going to and probably should be. Now, the way we did this, I asked everybody. Before I get into that, I just want to mention, before people start asking where's Sean, Sean is still with us. Sean's still with the company. Sean is actually in the process of training to be an agent with Dreams Unlimited Travel. So we've kind of moved some of his responsibilities around. So for the time being, while he's doing that, he's not going to be on these shows. He will be coming back. You'll see him in some vlogs, and he's writing some articles for the site. But we had to move his schedule around to accommodate becoming a Dreams agent. So congratulations to Sean. And I just didn't want people thinking that he dropped off the face of the earth. But anyway, the way we're working this is each of us picked a restaurant we felt was underrated. And then we also each have a pick for honorable mention. So let's start with Rhino. You picked for your most underrated restaurant, Tangerine Cafe over at Epcot.
Yeah.
World Showcase in Morocco, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
I find that I really enjoy the food there. Like, it's your standard kind of like Mediterranean fare. So there's a lot of...
And this is a counter service
restaurant. Yes, yeah. And it's never... It can get busy, but not like busy. You know, you might have to wait for like two or three people or something like that. But there's usually tables over there to relax in. You can find shaded areas over there. I like the food because you get it's anytime there's some hummus in the area, I am on board. And there's usually like that and couscous. You know, it feels like the food is very filling, but it also doesn't weigh me down during the day during the park either. And I feel like for what you're paying there, you get a lot for a reasonable price. Like, it's on the less expensive side of dining in the park, I think. In that park especially, maybe.
And do you think it's underrated because, people don't know about it? Or do you think people are just kind of turned off by the fact that it's more exotic?
Yeah, I find that Mediterranean food, very like specifically at least the people in my life, is always very hit or miss. Like, mm-hmm. I think some people really like it, or people are just like, no, there's nothing for them there. And I am usually kind of like in the middle with that. Like, I do like it. It is, you know, it's kind of on the healthier side of food. I don't always like the pairing of flavors because I'm not a big olive person. But I think that's part of it. But I think that because it's at Disney, they really find food in there that can kind of stick that middle ground. There's nothing too extreme with flavors. You know, it's not like you're in the sit-down restaurant in the Marrakesh or Spice Road. Yeah, but it's because it's quick service, I feel like it's a little more like the standard fare you'd find, like a gyro. Gyros. I don't know what you call them, but you know, the pita wraps with the lamb.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
And the whatnot.
All right. Now, Charles, your pick for most underrated was also kind of similar to Rhino's. You picked Harambe Market over an Animal Kingdom.
I did.
And why is that?
Well, it's my one of my favorite quick service on property. And I think, you know, I've never heard anybody outright say it's bad or anything like that, but I don't think it gets the kind of press. You know, like anything associated with Animal Kingdom traditionally has decent dining. So there are a lot of other quick service options and table service options that people talk about. But as far as just like a basic quick service, Harambe Market, it's the flavor's great. The portions are really great. And, you know, Animal Kingdom gets all of this, like, warranted or unwarranted press for being hotter than the other parks. I think it might have something to do with the humidity there too, but it seems to feel a little hotter and everything. So managing to have a quick service that can satisfy you, but not weigh you down, not give you the meat sweats, or like just load you full of mac and cheese before you're wandering around. But they've got, you know, a chicken tikka masala, I think. They've got, you know, corn dog sausage kind of thing. And all of this stuff, it's not heavy. The portions are good. I've only had good experiences eating there. And, you know, with the mobile ordering and stuff too, it's even easier now. Yeah. You don't have to wait in the entire queue there. You can just sit off to the side, find yourself a table, go grab something, eat in the shade. And it's a great quick service. It's probably one of my favorite places, but you don't hear people talking a lot about it. And I think it's because Animal Kingdom has so many different places to eat and places to go. But, you know, it's great. I always enjoy it.
I just want to stress something on what Charles said with the mobile order. That is very important, I think, to use at Harambe, because during lunch, the lines can get very, very long and they take a long time. So it's really important to use that if you're considering Harambe.
Don't you think just in general, utilize, and for those not familiar, mobile ordering is an option through the My Disney Experience app at certain restaurant locations. Not all of them have it, but it allows you to go ahead and place your order in advance and then go and pick it up, so you're not waiting in the lines. It's kind of like fast pass for your food. Don't you think mobile ordering is a good idea regardless?
Yeah, I mean,
is there any place you think that mobile ordering doesn't make sense?
I don't know. I think it's especially true in certain areas. I mean, there are lines at Harbor House that can get a little long, but I would wait in that line.
Casey's Corner is like an anxiety attack just waiting to happen. So I always recommend it there, because I walk in and I'm like, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah. In some, you know, it's nice anywhere, but in some, it's almost necessary if you want to avoid that packed crowd thing. And I generally don't like those kind of innovations, and I don't like the My Disney Experience app, so I didn't expect mobile ordering to go off as well as it did. But using it at Harambe Market last time we were there, yeah, it completely changed it. The queue, I mean, you're basically waiting in the same area. I didn't even mobile order till I was there. You can do it on your way, but we waited till we found a table. But still, being able to just sit there, glance, and not worry about facing back and forth is nice. So
I was going
to
say,
yeah, that's right. I'm on camera. I'm just out of focus. I would say with mobile ordering, just wait till you get there. See if the mobile ordering line is longer than the regular line. Because there's been times now where I've seen the mobile ordering being way longer. So
really?
Yes. And especially the last time we were at Casey's, actually, we were just there last week. Mobile ordering was longer than the regular lines. So just pay attention to that. You can get it to be made immediately. So if you see that it's longer, maybe just wait in that line. But if you see no one's at mobile ordering, then pop out real quick, order your food, go pick it up right away.
They don't even start making the food until you're in the vicinity of the restaurant anyway. So it's not like, oh, well, then what's the time saver? Because it that's their way to make sure it's hot when you get there.
Yeah. All right, Steve, you had your pick was a restaurant near and dear to my heart, Trails End Cafe, or Trails End Restaurant at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, so I picked Trails End because I think Hoop-Dee-Doo, rightfully so, gets a lot of hype, and it deserves that hype. But
Hoop-Dee-Doo is a dinner show.
It is a dinner show, and it serves the same food that Trails End offers, Trails End kind of gets overshadowed sometimes by Hoop-Dee-Doo because there's so much hubbub about how great Hoop-Dee-Doo is. So I think if you like the food at Hoop-Dee-Doo, but you don't want to spend $60 or $70, depending on where you're sitting at Hoop-Dee-Doo, you can spend, I think it's $35 per person at Trails End. And for people like Charles, me and Charles were talking about this. Charles is someone that doesn't like to have people doing a show and interacting with him, and he could go there and be able to enjoy the food and not have to worry about people calling him up on stage.
Understatement. The biggest understatement possible. Yeah, no, that is horrendous. That's terrifying for me. You know, there is a thing even for people who maybe aren't as anxious as I am, but don't want to sit through a dinner show that day. Some people who just want to eat. I liked the food at Hoop-Dee-Doo. It was great. And eating that buffet style is great, especially for like almost half the price or somewhere, and the price point so different. But you know, there are plenty of people who aren't going to want to to do the dinner show, but still want that style of food, the fried chicken, the cornbread, mm-hmm. everything like that. So I've never been there, and I think it's underrated, because I would choose I would choose to go there easily if anybody asked me to go back. So
it's still just a great option, too, if you don't want to eat in the Magic Kingdom and you want Absolutely. A little short break. You can pop over there, and it's a great meal.
And, you know, popping over there really is just a matter of, you know, walking out of the Magic Kingdom, hopping on – there's a boat that goes right to Fort Wilderness, and it's, you know, a three-second walk from the marina over to Trail's End. And it is – not only is the food really good, but I'm pretty sure it's the least expensive dinner buffet you're going to find on Disney property.
It's also a time limit thing. I love Hoop-Dee-Doo. I love the food. But because you're working on the show schedule, you don't get that time to sit back and actually enjoy your meal. You get rushed from starting mm-hmm. with the salad and the cornbread straight onto the fried chicken and all the sides. And before you know it, they're throwing the dessert out because you have to eat that and get out. And yeah. that's the nice part of Trail's End is it's at your own pace. You can sit there all night if you want to.
And that fried chicken.
Yeah.
That fried chicken is so good. All right. My selection is the Turf Club, the table service restaurant over at Saratoga Springs. Had dinner there a couple months ago, and I hadn't been there in a very long time. I was blown away by how good it was. And I'm like, why do I never hear about this place? It is only open for dinner, and it is over in the golf club area where they have, you know, their pro shop for their mm-hmm. golf course and everything. Great atmosphere, great service, great food. Thought the prices were really reasonable considering it was a table service. And it doesn't seem like it's really difficult to get reservations at. So, you know, again, I'm basing this on one experience I had. And we're going to go back and we're going to do a review, a proper review of it. But I was impressed. I was impressed with this place. I thought the food was really, you know, not, you know, it was imaginative without being ridiculous. Nothing to like really scare you off or put you off. But enough that you realize that the kitchen actually put some thought into this. And I was happy with the quality, flavor, service, everything. I thought it was a really good restaurant. And I'm surprised that more people don't know about it, and I think this absolutely fits the bill of an underrated restaurant. But we'll go back and do a proper review of it and see if it actually holds up to that. We've also picked honorable mentions. I guess we could have just picked two, but those were our top underrated ones. These we don't feel quite as strongly about, although I will say I feel pretty strongly about mine. It does not eclipse Turf Club and underrated, but I don't feel it gets the love it deserves. And that's I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, the intermission food court at All Star Movies. I was really impressed with that. I was really impressed with the secret menu in particular that they have. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we went into this in our Seven Resorts in 7 Days series a few weeks ago. And we talked about the secret menu. You go to one particular place in the food court, ask for the secret menu. They bring out a briefcase with old school Viewmasters. And when you look through the Viewmaster, each slide is an item on the secret menu. And it was really cool and really good. And I thought just in general for food court food, intermission food court at All Star Movies I don't think it gets the love it deserves. In my opinion. So that's my choice. Steve, you also went with a food court, but at the different, at the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Gasparilla Grill over at the Grand Floridian.
Exactly. I think this location is one of the best quick service locations on the fact that the inside of this restaurant to me looks like it, in a month, if they wanted to make this into a table service, it could. It's so beautiful in there to me that like there's a lot of quick service places feel like cafeterias. This does not. This really feels like a restaurant, and they actually bring your number. You get like a number after you buy your food, and they bring your food out to you, which I think just adds a tinge bit more of like service quality. And I've always enjoyed everything that I've had there food wise. And it's right next to the Magic Kingdom. So if you're just hop on the monorail and you can go right in. If you're in the Magic Kingdom, take the monorail, get off at the Grand Floridian, and just hop back on the monorail. So that's why that one almost beat out Trails End, but I think at the end of the day, Trails End has a little bit better food and can't beat a buffet that's that cheap. So
right. Rhino, you went with
Yasaki
over at Disney Springs. Tell people what that is.
It's this like I don't want to quite call it poke, but it is poke. It's like a kiosk that is fairly new. It's been there since the town center area of Disney Springs opened, but they do stuff like fresh ahi tuna. There's shrimp, beef, salmon, grilled chicken, but you can make your like wraps, these bowls, and it's all like, you know, you can get it with like kale and cabbage and whatever, build your own kind of thing. And I just feel like it's located where like the Wetzel's Pretzels is, and where the Harley Davidson store used to be, and like right outside of AMC when you come out of the Orange Garage. And I don't feel like people congregate over there because it's kind of like where the bridge goes. It's like next to that bridge but off to the side, so it's not really like none of the foot traffic is really circling through there. But I like it because it's like quick, easy, and I feel like I don't feel terrible about myself when I eat it. And it's also like not overly expensive, but I feel like all the ingredients have been very fresh. And I don't know, I'm somebody that I like poke, I like ahi tuna, stuff like that. So anytime there's an available, anytime there's good versions of that, I like to try it out.
All right. And Charles, you also went with a table service restaurant at a Disney Vacation Club property. Mm-hmm. You said Olivia's over at Old Key West.
I did.
And why is that?
So I've only eaten there for lunch, and it's not the priciest lunch on property, but it's also not the least expensive. But I've had good experiences every time I've been there, and it's usually been pretty dead inside. I don't hear people talk about Olivia's too much as far as like a place to go or anything. And you know, I like the area. I like the interior. It's nice and open. The service was great. Now, once again, that could be because we were the only people in there most of the times that I went there for lunch. But the food was great. I had a awesome experience. And I also do have to point out that like there's something, there's a recent thing they started doing there that points out one of the awesome things about Disney resorts is they're offering a wine tasting there for DVC members now. And when they announced that, they mentioned that one of the themes to the wine tasting was going to be about the myth of the legendary Olivia Farnsworth, the creator of Olivia's. And that level of pointless theming really, really makes me happy. And I'm not joking in the least bit. Like, I never walked into Olivia's and thought, like, what's the theme here? I really need to dig into the backstory of the legendary Olivia Farnsworth. But they do that. They have to theme everything really in depth. And I don't know why, that just makes me happy. But it's not good enough to make it to the top of my list, but honorable mention. I figured it deserves that for lunch. So,
all right. So there you have it. Our most underrated restaurants at Walt Disney World: Trails End over at Fort Wilderness, Turf Club at Disney Saratoga Springs, Harambe Market at Animal Kingdom, Tangerine Cafe at Epcot. On the honorable mentions list, Gasparilla Grill at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, the Intermission Food Court at All Star Movies, Olivia's at Old Key West, and Yasaki over at Disney Springs. And that will do it for this episode of the Disney Dining Show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks for being with us, everyone.